It's time for the Budweisers from the sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich, as we do each and every week. John, how are we?
I'm doing great. I hope you are fine. And before we go any further, happy Thanksgiving. I know we're just a day away, but a happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there that is listening. Appreciate this year has been. It's been a crazy, wild year, but still a lot of things to be thankful for.
Absolutely. Well said, John, and a happy Thanksgiving to you as well, sir, and a thank you to joining us here again on the From the Sidelines each and every week. We certainly do appreciate it, and some bad news, I guess you could call it, for the Cleveland Browns this week. You played well without Myles Garrett on Sunday against the Eagles, and I'll let you get into that here in a second, but now against the Jaguars this upcoming Sunday, you're without Denzel Ward as well. John, how do you overcome those two being out?
Well, I'll tell you what, Denzel has been playing Pro Bowl level, easily, I'm all Pro level, you could say, and same thing for Myles. So they got a great opportunity to see what life would be like without Myles this past week, and I thought the defensive line played great. All the guys pitching in, whether it was a rookie Jordan Elliott or Olivier Vernon, had a great game. Everybody played well. And then at the back end, Denzel had one of his best games as a Cleveland Brown. I mean, he was all over his receiver all day long. Pass defense plays for him way up there. He leads the league in that category, and then he made a late interception, and he's just been playing fantastic ball. But, you know, when you hear calf, and that's kind of the situation that he is dealing with, and you hear MRI, you know it. You know, these things just don't snap your fingers and you're going to be okay. We recall that the offensive lineman Wyatt Teller was out three games because of his calf strain, and, you know, according to reports, we're looking at a couple of weeks here, I would assume, with Denzel Ward. So maybe you can sit back and say, well, you draw the Jags this week and you can get by without Myles, you can get by without Denzel, and that's certainly, I think, can be a truism, but you don't want to lose the services of someone as good as Denzel Ward this week. He's having a great year.
Talk to me about Olivier Vernon. I mean, it was kind of a showing out party for him on Sunday against the Eagles, and that's the kind of performance that Browns fans have been waiting for, and maybe the kind of performance that he'll need to replicate if you're without your two best defenders on Sunday against Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was getting to the quarterback both with brute strength, just bull rushing the lineman, and also getting around. He really had a tremendous game, and that was a football weather kind of a contest with the rain and the turf kind of soggy, and it was just, you know, it really was an entertaining game. I enjoyed the heck out of that one, but it's great to see that he showed up, that he had the production. We've wondered where it's been. He's missed, as you know, Rocco, quite a few games over the course of his short career as a Cleveland Brown with various injuries. And you all assumed that when Myles was on the other side that, you know, he would take up so much attention and that it would leave the other guys free to just, you know, walk unaided, if you will, right to the quarterback. But that just hasn't been the case with him. So he looks like he's healthy. He played great. Came up with a big play with the safety, and you just figure that, all right, that's one game, that's a situation where he really thrived, as did the other defensive linemen, and you look for them to do more of the same kind of thing this week against the Jags.
I'm glad you mentioned the safety there, John, because I think one of the Browns' best defenders this year has been on the special teams side of things, and that's Jamie Gillen, the Scottish Hammer. He's been tremendous this year. He helped set up that safety, and, I think when people saw that he beat out Britton Colquitt for the spot, it was like, what are you doing? But I think that's paid off for the Browns.
Yeah, that was a big move a year ago in camp when when he came in and pretty much unknown, if you will, and has done a great job. Now, this year, he's done this twice. He has set up safeties two different times. I think it was the Bengals game where he had a great punt real deep, and then the Browns defense was able to get to Joe Burrow in the end zone. And on Sunday, that was a spectacular punt. I love when a guy can pinpoint it and use the turf to arrest the movement of the ball towards the end zone, and then, you know, the guys on special teams coverage can get down there and down it. So I don't negate his importance this year. And especially when you're dealing with the conditions that they've had the last 3 weeks at home, you know, where they've had pretty much, you know, typhoons and hurricanes, it seems like they're dealing with. This week it was just a soggy, raining the whole time, the ball's wet, you know, and I think that he's really made a very good contribution to the team.
John Telich is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. John, you sent me an interesting stat regarding first down play action plays. The Browns were 4 for 4 in completions in that regard, accounting for, what, 60% or so of their passing yards on the day. I got to imagine that's something Kevin Stefanski will look to go to more often as the season moves on.
Yeah, it was a great, first of all, their DNA, we're seeing more and more week after week with Chubb and with Hunt, is that, you know, they're a running team, and they've certainly showed it with three games so far this year where they've had 200 yards rushing. They really weren't getting much solved running the football early in this contest, but by design, they were 4 for 4 on those first down play actions. And what you have happening in most of those deals, either Baker is, you know, bootlegging out. They've got the whole wide zone scheme with the offensive lineman. You got guys pulling. Man, it looks like a run. And, of course, everybody's got a bunch of people deep in the box there to try to stop that run. And it creates a perfect avenue to throw for Baker. And the first, you know, early on, throwing to Hodge, throwing to deep over the middle to Hollywood Higgins. And so those types of things, I think, even though Baker didn't have a great game, he missed a couple of easy throws down in the red zone, which I'm sure he would like to have back, but it was those types of throws that, as the game wore on, at least gave the Eagles more and more things to worry about, and I think it opened things up finally in that last quarter for the Browns to run the ball.
John, the more I look at this Cleveland Browns football team, the more I start to somewhat relate them to last year's Tennessee Titans team. Very reliant upon the run game. You know, more of a game-managing quarterback than that true, you know, superstar, I'm going to go win this football game kind of quarterback, although we've seen Baker do that before.
Right.
You know, could the duo of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt kind of emulate what Derrick Henry did for the Titans last year, and could they sort of replicate what the Titans did and try and make a deep postseason run on the backs of those two?
I think that makes a lot of sense because a year ago, as you alluded in Tennessee, you didn't want the quarterback to hurt you that much. He managed the game through, you know, high percentage passes, and then, you know, Derrick Henry is just absolutely a beast. He won the game on Sunday for them against Baltimore with an overtime touchdown run. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that is certainly a solution for the Browns. You know, keep Baker's throws 25 or less in the game. You rely a lot on your running back combination who, you know, when they're in together, not necessarily on the same play, but when they're being fully healthy and fully utilized in their each own unique way, it's just a hard thing. It's like, you know, if you've got a bullpen with a guy that throws real good curveballs and another guy that just throws fastballs that are just really difficult to handle, and you go from one to the other, it's just hard to keep up with the method by which each guy runs the football. I mean, Nick is just phenomenal. I'd say top back. He and Henry, I'd say maybe go 1 and 2 with the top running backs in the league, and Kareem's a top 5 back. And right now, between the two of them, you know, I don't know if they're both going to get over 1,000 yards. I think Nick will because he's at 575 with 6 games to go. And obviously, he's the more featured guy, if you will. Kareem's at 644 because he played those several games with Nick being out. This is, you know, a comparison I'd like to make to Mack and Beiner. It's an easy comparison, but yet, in some ways, when you look at the styles that Mack had, Mack was a straight ahead runner, not necessarily a shifty. I don't think as breakaway-ish that Nick is, but Kevin Mack was a phenomenal running back. And then in Kareem and in Ernest, I think you're really looking at similar players. Catch the ball very well out of the backfield. Elusive, strong, tough, run through people, jump over people, which you saw on Sunday, both guys do. They have unique styles that, again, if you're a defense, tough to kind of get a read. Oh, here comes Chubb. You know, he's stiff arms, a defensive end, knocks him down. It's like he was chasing after you know, something in a store when they opened them on Thanksgiving Day. You know, I mean, nothing that you can stop this guy on when he's got a head of steam going. It's fun to watch him play, and I think they, you know, again, they epitomize the old style Cleveland Browns football. Jim Brown had Ernie Green in front of him at times. Jim Brown getting the yardage, or Leroy Kelly, all these great backs that we've had in Cleveland. It's fun. I think it kind of, it's something that Cleveland Browns fans that really can, you know, hang your hat on and say, this is Cleveland Browns style football. Just hammer them until you can take advantage of them late in the game and seal the game up for yourself.
And I think that plays largely into the, you know, extra excitement around this year's team. Obviously, winning, being at 7-3, that's one thing. But the way they're doing it, right, just kind of out-physicaling, that's not a word, but, you know, being more physical than the other team, it's certainly something they've used to their advantage. And like you said, it's something Clevelanders can certainly relate to. John, last thing here for you, looking ahead to Sunday's matchup against the Jaguars, saying hello to our old friend Joe Schobert. Been kind of a rough year down there for him in Jacksonville. How do you see this playing out on Sunday?
Well, I mean, these guys have lost 9 in a row. You know, they're missing their best defensive lineman in Josh Allen. You've got Joe Schobert down there. You know, he got his money, and God bless him. Good for him. And he was a solid player for the Browns. You know, they had the Steelers early in the game, up 3-0, but it was all Pittsburgh. And so I guess. My point might be, I think the Browns go down there and win without a doubt. But let's just see how well they can manage this game. You always have a little bit of a worry when a northern team goes down to a warm climate and plays a game. You worry about whether or not the guys are going to get fatigued, and they haven't had as much, you know, practice training this year because of remote situations and COVID and what have you. So this will be interesting. But this is a team on a 9-game streak, although a couple of games ago, you know, they had an opportunity to win the game and were not fortunate, but, you know, it looked like they were starting to solve some of their problems. But there's a lot of things wrong with the Jags now, much of it the injuries. Their defensive secondary has been decimated by injuries. So this could be a game where Baker, you know, doesn't necessarily throw all day, but will be successful being able to get the ball down the field, provided there's, you know, not a hurricane down in Jacksonville. They probably won't know what to do, Rocco. If it's 75 and just overcast in Jacksonville, they'll expect, they want, where's the rain? Where's the snow? Come on, we want some weather elements here. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski might have to dig out the other 3/4 of his play sheet that has been tucked away in the last couple of weeks here.
Exactly. In fact, you know, the last couple of weeks, you could say that Stefanski, being a smart guy that he is, he knew, you know, the weather elements were kind of aiding him, especially on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. You know, those two games when it was super windy, you adjust how you play that game because you know the other team's not going to have a chance to go deep. This week it should be decent weather, but the Browns are clearly the better team. What's curious, too, Rockman, I don't want to blabber on too long here, is the perception of the Browns. Even though they have like the 4th or 5th best record in the NFL, I haven't looked at the power rankings, but I guarantee you they're not number 5 or 6 in the power rankings. You know, they're probably 10, 11, or wherever. So they still need to show people that this is a consistent thing, that they can do it against the Titans of the world. They can do it against the Ravens or the Steelers, and that's why the last 6 games are going to be intriguing. 3 of them against, you know, so-called little sisters of the poor, and then 3 of them against good teams.
Chance to go 8-3 for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday against Jacksonville. John Telich thinks it's going to happen, and, well, I think it will, too. Jacksonville, not a very good football team. Brown and Orange should be a winner on Sunday. JT, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here today. Look forward to catching up next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys next week, and everybody have a great and happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.